May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 44. Hear, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. Hymn number 44.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read two portions from his holy word. Firstly, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, part of chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. We turn now to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us each prayer. Kind and ever gracious Lord God, and yet, holy, holy, holy Lord God, we pray for thy Holy Spirit's influence, that we may not rush into thy presence as the unthinking horse into battle, but Lord, that we may veil our faces in pleading the name of thy Son. O Lord, that it may be he instead of us is seen as we approach unto thee. O Lord, we pray for a right sense, a Holy Spirit wrought sense of our sinfulness, our corruptions, our vileness, their impotence, their helplessness. O Lord, that we may, Lord, not mock thee with empty words. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant us heartfelt prayer. Lord, oh, do grant, we beseech thee, this evening thy real blessing. Lord, oh, come and be with us, graciously, savingly. Come, Lord, and make this place to us thy house. Come, Lord, and deliver us from the flesh in all its workings. Oh, may we truly be crucified with Christ. It is only by the death of the flesh the Spirit lives. Thou didst say by thy servant Paul, if Christ be in you, the Spirit, the flesh is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Lord, crucify this self by the gospel. O Lord, come and reveal thyself unto us. Favour us to believe in thee in such a way as our body should be dead. That is, all the will of the flesh, the supposed merit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the thoughts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, may all be brought under the power of thy gospel, thy power, Lord Jesus. Oh, that we might live by faith, live upon thee, Lord. For there is no other life. Oh, Lord, convince each one of us of that this evening, if it can please thee. Lord, we pray then, let my soul live. Lord, it is only thy sovereign gift. Life is thy gift. We thank thee for that truth. If we had to earn life, there'd be no life. O Lord, there is life in thee only. Thou art the life, the resurrection, thou didst say. Thy servant John did write, in him was life, and the life was the light of the world. Oh, may it be so tonight. Oh, we pray then that thou wouldst grant us thy spirit to open up the scriptures and grant one the help he needs to speak thy word faithfully in love, clarity. Lord, we pray that the Spirit will make it clear to us by opening our eyes. Lord, we pray this evening this may be a season when the blind may have their eyes opened. Lord, we are all blind except thou dost open our eyes. Oh, we come then with that prayer, that beggar, Lord, that thou wouldest open mine eyes. We may behold wondrous things, that we may see him whose name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We may see Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, what an unspeakable blessing. Oh, we do pray for it. Lord, do glorify thy great name here this evening. Take of the things of Jesus, blessed Spirit, and show them unto us. Fulfill that promise, the veil shall be taken away. Oh, Lord, fulfill it this evening. According to thy holy will, may it be a time of the conversion of sinners unto thee. Conviction of sinners. Leading of sinners to Christ. The forgiveness of sins. The loosing of the captives. The feeding of the sheep and the lambs. Lord, the encouragement of the downcast. Lord, the interpretation, thy interpretation to those who, like Job, are full of confusion. Lord, thou art thy own interpreter, and thou alone canst make it plain. We pray thou wilt make thy will plain to us. Make thy word plain, make thy love plain to us. Make thy gospel plain to us. O Lord, deliver us from all our complications. O Lord, what fools we are. Lord, we pray to be made as little children this evening. O Lord, do not leave one to darken counsel by words without knowledge. But grant, Lord, we pray, that simplicity which is in Christ. We pray them for this congregation. Oh, do them good, Lord, we beseech thee. Lord, touch the cases as only thou canst. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant healing this evening. Lord, that is say, the holding not a physician, but they that are sick. And thou knowest those that have come in here this evening feeling sick. And thou knowest any that may have come in not realizing they're sick. So sick that they're unconscious of it. Oh Lord, we pray, heal the sick. Blessed physician of sinners. Heal, Lord, with the new birth, the washing of regeneration. Heal with the renewing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Make thy people new creatures. Fulfill that promise. I will do a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. We pray, Lord, to be raised above the things of this earth to which we cling. O Lord, we ask thy help for those that have turned in hither now from the scenes of this world, in business, in the home. O Lord, we ask that thou would shut us in with thee and shut earthly things out. Oh, hallow this place and our hearts with thy presence and the gracious influence of thy Spirit. It is thy Spirit that quickeneth, and we ask for it. Do bless this people here with spiritual prosperity, individually and collectively. Let thy work appear, we pray. O Lord, make thyself known. Lord Jesus, and make thyself more known. Thou didst say thou art come that thy people, thy sheep, might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, grant that growth in grace. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how small some of us feel to be. Oh, Lord, do grant that prayer of faith for growth. O Lord, grant that diligence in seeking it. O Lord, there are those here that know how it is in a natural sense with their animals and with their plants and what diligence they will take to seek the means that may be blessed of thee to promote growth. We pray for that same diligence to be given to each of us in the spiritual means. O Lord, oh, we confess what slothful people we often are. Quicken us, Lord, and we will call on thy name. Lord, have mercy. We thank thee for thy mercies to this people, and to oneself, and to all thy people through the earth. Thy great goodness day by day, thy mercies which are countless as the sand, and all of them completely undeserved, the opposite of what we deserve. Lord, thou knowest thou dost make thy people greatly wonder. Greatly wonder at thy goodness. Thou dost make them say, why me? Lord, we thank thee for it. And pray for grace to give thee all the praise. Oh, for our heart to praise thee. Lord, help those who perhaps feel even now the bondage of ingratitude. Oh, Lord, do so loose them by thy gospel tonight. For gratitude is not a legal duty. Thanksgiving is not a legal duty. It is a grace. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Above all, Lord, we ask tonight to have our hearts touched in thanksgiving for Christ thy Son. For all that he is, for all that he has done, and all that he is yet doing. Interceding for all that come unto God by thee. And all those promises concerning what thou yet do by thy Spirit in thy people's lives. And Lord, for that promise of thy second coming. O Lord, what cause for thankfulness to thy people. For that word, why stand ye gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus, whom ye have seen ascend into heaven, shall come in like manner. But Lord, it would not be then as a man of sorrows, though it be the same man, the same glorious person, yet glorified beyond all recognition. So that he shall be seen from one end of the earth to the other. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Lord, we ask for that grace in our hearts, that confidence in our hearts. At thy words I come quickly to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless the deacons of this church and other deacons, Lord, each in this office in thy churches. Bless thy ministers. Bless the members. Bless those that fear thee in the congregation. Bless the families. Bless our young people. Be the guide of their youth. O Lord, we pray for them. Thou hast watch over and keep them and preserve them and each one of us safe in body and soul and mind. We ask for the afflicted. Draw near, Lord, and sustain them. At thy appointed time, heal them or take them to thyself. And grant that grace sufficient to the end. Forgive all we ask wrongly. Make up where we so fail to ask. We plead every needed mercy for each one. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 241. Repentance is a gift bestowed to save a soul from death. Gospel repentance towards God is always joined to faith. Hymn 241.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This text sets forth something which is very, very important. We don't hear much of it today. The sentence from the Lord's own mouth. The ministry that stops short of this stops short of salvation. You'll find in every account, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, of salvation. In some cases sooner than others. But in every case it came to this point. The Lord's answer. The Lord's answer. Perhaps some of you here this evening, you're sorely tried because you do not get it. But my dear friend, can you give up asking for it? Can you be content with what so many seem to be content with? Not getting it. If you're a real hungry sinner, it doesn't satisfy that hunger to see the food set before you. If you're a real thirsty sinner, it doesn't satisfy that thirst to see a glass of water before you. Mr. Gadsby met on one of his journeys a minister of rather a different kind to himself. This minister had fallen into the errors of what they used to call Sandemanianism, which was that all that was needed for a sinner to be saved was to give an assent to the Word of God. And as these two men journeyed on, they came to an inn. There's a sign outside offering food and drink. And Gadsby's fellow traveller said to him, Let us go in. I'm hungry and thirsty, I'm sure you are. Mr. Gadsby said to him, Well, if what you preach is true, we don't need to go in. It's enough for us to see that there is food and drink provided there. The man had no answer. This is the end. The end is in our text. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. And those of you that are waiting for the end, the Lord help you to wait on. And wait for him. It's a day in which there's much putting of man's hand to things. It'd be our ruin. Our ruin. Man's hand only will have ruin under it at the end. The works of nature shall all decay. There'll be no blessing in it. The hand of Almighty God is what is needed. The church knew it, didn't she? She said, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call on thy name. The day in which there are many things done in the church of God for political reasons. That is completely opposite to Christ. He has nothing to do with politics except as far as he is in control. For him, kings reign and princes decree justice. What do I mean by politics? I mean doing something with another man in mind, before God in mind. Doing something with regard to what others will think. Doing something with regard to what others will say. Doing something with regard to what others may do. That's what I mean by politics. My dear friend, child of God, the Lord help you to remember this. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Throughout the scripture there are numerous instances where people, including the Lord's people, put their trust in men and acted in political ways, and it always came to ruin. But with the Lord's people, the Lord was faithful even then. Because he is faithful at all times. But look at what it cost Jehoshaphat. He's surrounded with those advancing soldiers. Oh, the terror, the dismay. He cried out and the Lord delivered him. Now, as I stood up, I'd no thought of speaking like that at all. But it seemed to flow from the thought I did have in speaking when I stood up, which was this. The vital thing in our text, the sentence from Jesus, the clinching of the matter, the clinching of the matter. The hymn writer speaks of it, doesn't he? Though God's election be a truth, no comfort there I find till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. Another hymn puts it like this. It's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. You see, God in his work, he doesn't leave things to people. He uses people in his work. But the work is his. Are you tempted tonight to put your hand to something? Unless God has told you to put your hand to something, the Lord enable you to keep your hand right off it. And how will you do that? In the way this centurion was enabled to do it. Why do we put our hand to things? Because our eyes aren't on Jesus Christ. That is why we put our hand to things. If your eye is really on Christ, your hand won't be able to touch it. So don't talk about looking to Christ. when really you're looking to what your hand can do. And Jesus said unto the centurion, not a Jew, but a true child of God, a Roman. As you know, the centurion was a man who had that authority over those soldiers under him, the centurion. The name centurion comes from the number 100. The control, he had authority. A man set over 100 soldiers. But this man had been at some point in the past called by grace. Paul, writing to Titus, speaks of the washing of regeneration. And the effects of the new birth can be seen in what this centurion did. Though he was a Roman, part of the occupying empire, we are told that he loved the Jews. He loved the Jews' nation. And I believe every true child of God, because Jesus Christ himself is the King of the Jews, because he himself was, according to the flesh, born of that nation, and because the Word of God speaks of such eminent people of God in that nation. And because God speaks of yet restoring Israel, the Apostle Paul speaks of it, yet it should turn to, when it should turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. So by the Spirit of God there is this love of the nation. But let us look at it just a little further, really, and what it spiritually sets forth. If we consider it not as the nation of Israel with regard to the whole Israel, that is, the national Israel, but as it speaks of God's nation, God's Israel within Israel, and God's Israel within the Gentile nations too. And my dear friend, the new birth, it creates this. Ruth, the Moabitess, had this, didn't she? It was that that caused her to cleave to Naomi and not go back to her Moabitess gods. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I am sure that is why the centurion loved the nation. The woman of Shunem, when she was asked by the prophet concerning all the kindness she'd showed to him, what should be done to thee? And she said, I dwell among mine own people. Paul says, doesn't he, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. So this man was a born again sinner. We're told that he had built the Jews a synagogue. His love to the nation of the Jews then wasn't just in word. It was what real love is, not just words, actions. That woman that came with that costly box of alabaster ointment, what was it? It was the preciousness of the one whose feet she anointed with it. So this was the centurion, and as we've read in the two accounts this evening, this man had a great trouble. His servant, whom he loved, was sick, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now there was another evidence that this man was a child of God. A normal centurion wouldn't be troubled about his servant. Hard man, careless, oh, the man's dying, just leave him to die. But this centurion couldn't do that. Oh, the grace of God is the most beautiful thing, my dear friend, that will ever be seen in human nature. When it is bestowed to a sinner, then that word in Psalm 90 is fulfilled, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, the beauty of the Lord his God was upon the centurion in the way he dealt. You that have to do with the men of this world, you that may be masters yourself, the Lord grant you this fear in all that you do. You see, this is the reality of the true fear of God. It is not taught by the precept of men. It is bestowed in the heart. And it doesn't just affect some things. If you're a child of God and the fear of God doesn't affect some things in your life, it will do. You'll be convicted of the sin of those things where the fear of God doesn't work. But this centurion heard Jesus. The two accounts we've read this evening differ somewhat in the detail. No doubt there is a purpose of God in this. So often we find in an account which is written by one of the, or more than one of the apostles, more than one of the disciples. Apostles, as they were when they came to write them, a slight difference is bringing out a different point. And that was the reason why I read with you that other account this evening. Because that other account was the one that told us of the things in this centurion's life that proved the new birth. And it also brought forth that fact that the centurion sending the Jews, with whom of course he was evidently in some friendship, having built them a synagogue, he sent the Jews to Jesus. And they, being dead in trespasses and sins, being just a Jew outwardly and not a Jew inwardly, they came to Jesus on behalf of this man in a way that man wouldn't have wanted them to come to Jesus. For they came to Jesus saying to him, this man's worthy. He's built us a synagogue and he loves our nation. And you see, that brings out another point concerning these fruits of the Spirit in the children of God. They don't attach any merit to those things at all. They don't consider that because they love the Jews, they're worthy. They don't consider because they've paid for a synagogue to be built that that makes them worthy. Because they are quickened, they are quickened by the Spirit, they have a new nature. These Jews who talk about him being worthy, they are the other voices that the Lord Jesus speaks of in John 10. And the sheep did not hear them, he said. The sheep did not hear them. Oh, sinner, if you're quickened by the Spirit and convinced of your sinfulness, convinced that nothing you do can possibly make you worthy of God's favor, you will not follow these strangers. And this is how the separating, distinguishing line is raw, is written by God, laid down by God, the Spirit, in his people's hearts. Well, this centurion then, he heard of Jesus. And he came unto Jesus, beseeching him, and saying, Lord. Now, I want to speak of these things, if the Lord may help me, in connection with this word that Jesus says here, as thou hast believed. As thou hast believed. To notice, if the Lord may enable us, how this centurion did believe. Firstly, it was the gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You may say, well then, tell me, how do I know whether I have faith given me by God or not? Well, may the Holy Spirit show us from this account. May he assure those here this evening that have this same faith. Even from this account we're considering this evening, may the Lord show it to us. And if we don't have it, may he show to us our lack of the true faith. Put in our heart a cry for the true faith. Remember what the hymn writer said? On various ways do men invent to give the conscience ease. Some say believe and some say repent and some say strive to please. But brethren, Christ, and Christ alone can rightly do the thing. Nor can we the blessing know until he salvation bring. But then look how that hymn ends. Should repentance or should faith both deficient seem, Jesus gives both. The scripture says, then ask them both of him. The first thing then I would say concerning this faith, according to thy faith, as thou hast believed, is this. He believed in Jesus. This is the most important point. He believed in Jesus. He believed who Jesus was, Lord. Lord. The Lord of Lords. He who has all power given into his hand. He who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. He who is the Lord who can heal the sick. He who is the Lord who can save sinners. And he who is the Lord who can do it. Because he is the Lord, he can do it for unworthy sinners. Because he is the Lord. Christ, my dear friend, is all. He is judge of quick and dead, and there is none beside him. He is Lord not only in the sense that he has almighty power, he is Lord in the sense that he is the express image of God's love, the express image of God's mercy, the express image of God's faithfulness, the express image of life. You see, if we come to Jesus or profess to come to Jesus, and we have a view, or profess to have a view, of his omnipotent power, but we come to Jesus asking him to do this for us because of something in us, we don't see him as Lord. And this has a relevance to what my remarks earlier concerning putting our own hand to things. We're not seeing him as Lord. Now, this was the faith this centurion had. He besought him, saying, Lord. And my dear friend, if you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him, you'll have to come beseeching him. To hear some people speak in prayer, it's as though they're telling the Lord what to do. My dear friend, the Lord save us from such dreadful mockery. If we believe that he is Lord, there is only one way we can approach unto him, and that's beseeching him. The sovereign Lord, the Lord who will do as he will. None shall stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Lord, thou can save whom thou wilt save. And thou can save in the way thou wilt save. Thou canst do it in the way thou wilt do it. Beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, the faith that the centurion was given is never given to anyone who hasn't got a case, such as is set forth by the case this centurion had. My dear friend, if you take the Lord's name on your lips and really you don't need anything, you haven't the faith in the text. No. Faith is that blessed work of the Spirit in the heart of a sinner, whereby they reverently, believingly approach unto the Lord Jesus with their case just as it is. Describing the case just as it is. You know, faith is a wonderful liberty. All the while we don't really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no liberty. But as soon as the Holy Spirit gives us a glimpse of the almighty power and the mercy and the grace and the compassion and the sovereignty of Jesus, it looses us. The leper had it that we read of this evening. And what was that truth that loosed him? The truth that he really believed that if the Lord will, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When, my dear friend, you get that faith, you don't have to polish your case up. You don't have to whitewash your condition over. You don't have to wait until you're a little better before you come. That faith brings the sinner just as they are. Just as they are. Another point concerning this faith, I'll repeat it because I've really already mentioned it, but in trying to go through these points, is this. That faith looked only to the worth of Jesus. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord help me to speak of Jesus. The Lord help me to preach Jesus. That there, even this evening, the Holy Spirit may inspire in our hearts that faith, the same faith. Oh, the worth of Jesus, the worthiness of Christ. He is that unique, glorious person. The eternal Son of God, co-equal with his Father and with the Spirit, who in the fullness of time was made man without sin. And what I particularly want to set before you here is this. As we read it in the book of Psalms. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. To do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Now in that truth, and in all that is couched in it, there is the worthiness of Christ. He is the only man that has ever walked this earth who could say that, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And it was in that truth that he delighted to do the will of his God that all his worth is. This is the spiritual. What did Paul say? He said, the law is carnal. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Christ wasn't carnal, sold under sin. Here is the worth of the person of Jesus Christ, verily God, verily man. So that glorious obedience of his, which was a delighted obedience, can be imputed to men. That portion of the human race that God the Father in his eternal purposes gave unto his Son. There is the worth then. But in particular with regard to the case of the centurion, in which you and I, if we have this same faith, the case which we need the Lord to deal with for us. Why was this centurion in this trouble? Why was his servant sick because of sin? Why would he have died if the Lord hadn't healed him? Because the wages of sin is death. Now, my dear friend, what does that scripture say when it goes on from that solemn statement, the wages of sin is death? Does it say that the wages of a person doing what the centurion did is life? No. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And how can God through Jesus Christ give that gift of eternal life? God the Father made his Son to be sin for his people. He who knew no sin was made sin for them, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Himself bore our sicknesses. He knew no sickness in his body. He couldn't. He bore our sicknesses in bearing our sins on Calvary's cross. And here is the worth of the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, behold that blessed Lord whom gloriously, delightedly fulfilled the law of his Father every second, every moment of his life, and then laid down that holy, spotless life on Calvary's cross. He must be a man to be under the law. But oh, the Lord, God has found a man in the person of the God-man, his dear Son. And the law is satisfied by that man. You see, this is the Lord that I'm trying to preach to you this evening. This is the Lord that the eye of our faith must be upon in every single request we make, or we won't obtain the request. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. When God answers prayer, he doesn't take account of anything but Jesus and his finished work. Because he cannot take account of anything than that. What does this mean for a poor sinner here this evening who's destitute? It means there's room for you before the throne of grace. It means there's room for you in the gospel feast, the great supper. Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the blind, the halt. Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Compel them to come in, he says. Compel them to come in. As thou hast believed. As thou hast believed. Then this faith this man had, how did he believe? But this really is that which in our subject corresponds most closely with my opening remarks this evening. He said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. What a faith. To really believe, sinner, this evening concerning your matter, your soul, your sins, your hard heart, your captivity, the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. To believe that Jesus has only to say the word and it will be done. Surely this is what Paul means when he writes of the simplicity that is in Christ. Surely this is what he means when he warns the church of God, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, so ye may be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. He saw that the Lord had this authority. What a blessed revelation. The sinner tonight, in the next chapter, you might like to read it later or some other time. There's another case of the faith, the same faith. And in that case, it was those four men that bore that sick man to Jesus. And they let him down through the tiles of the roof because they could not get at him because there was such a crowd around and in the house. And we read, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man that was sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord bless you and I tonight, my dear friend, with that faith. And I believe it will be preceded by a conviction of the enormity of what we need done. It will be preceded then by a conviction of the sin. It will be preceded then by that realization that I cannot get this forgiveness of sin by any other way. And this trouble, whatever it may be tonight, this burden that lies upon you, it may be a perplexity as to know what to do. Do I speak to those here this evening and you have got something now in your life, or you've got something before you, perhaps a meeting or a decision to be made, and you don't know what to do? Well, my dear friend, the Lord help you and help me to stop trying to find the answer by reasoning. What do we read of those two on the Emmaus Road? They communed together and reasoned. That didn't bring them nearer the answer, did it? But when Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and then expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, that brought them to the reason. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? That made their heart burn. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. Go thy way. He had prevailed with Jesus. No longer has he to, in this matter, wait upon Jesus. No longer does he in this matter have to ask Jesus. His way, as led by the Spirit, had been to Jesus. Now Jesus, at the appointed moment, The moment when the faith of this man has prevailed with him, he sends him. Go thy way. You see, perhaps that is for one here this evening. You cannot go your way until this point. That's the point you're at with the matter to this decision. And it's certainly the point you're at, child of God, with regard to spiritual liberty. It's certainly the point you're at with regard to walking in gospel ordinances. Not until you obtain this from the Lord Jesus can you go your way. And with regard to that trouble you're in, you cannot go your way out of that trouble. Oh, do I speak to one here this evening? And you're trying to escape the trouble. You're trying to find the quick way out of the trouble. You're perhaps even asking God to take the trouble away. And in all this, you're choosing your way. But oh, the Lord grant us his fear in our heart. The Lord bless us with this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I need thee to send me. Lord, I need thee thyself to bring me out of this trouble. Lord, I need thee to tell me what to do. I need thee to make the way for me. Oh, that sinner under the law tonight, remember what I have said concerning this blessed person, Jesus Christ. He, says the apostle, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, Lord. Speak the word. Jesus still speaks in 2017, my dear friend. And he'll speak down to the end of time to his church on this earth. The Lord restores Zion to seeking the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Lord restore to Zion the exercise of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now, comes to me now. It seemed to come with a little light this morning, and it comes back to me now. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. When we are blessed with true faith in Jesus Christ, in our approaches unto God, we hide ourselves. Faith is a grace by which a sinner hides himself. Where? In the only place he can hide himself. In Christ. Lord, I'm not worthy, but Lord, thou art. So then, this is why this prayer prevails with God. Because the Spirit is causing that sinner to approach to God in the way God delights in and in the way God cannot say no to. But then this also is a truth concerning this. When we hide ourselves by faith behind Christ, in Christ, in coming to God, we have a view of things that cause us to ask for things according to the will of God. When we have the blessing of this faith, we can't ask Jesus to do something he hasn't promised to do. Faith, the true faith that this centurion had, takes the person and all the promises of God in that person, Jesus Christ, and pleads those things with God. Now, how clearly that's seen in what the centurion said unto the Lord. Lord, I'm only a centurion. I've only got soldiers under me. But Lord, thou art Lord of all. Thou hast got sin under thee. And therefore thou canst put my sins away if it please thee. Thou hast got the devil under thee. And thou canst say to the devil, go. And he'll have to go. And Lord, thou hast got death under thee. And so thou canst say to death, go. According to your faith, be it unto thee. According to your faith. But you see, according to your faith is not presumption. That centurion didn't presume, and nor does faith presume. Faith puts in its request. Faith puts in its plea. And the hymn writer said, and I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. And as thou hast believed, O sinner tonight, this blessed one, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. When you and I are given faith to believe that and approach unto him, it will be done unto us according to how we believe. That hard heart, and what does the scripture say? He is exalted to give repentance. If we really look to Jesus believing he's able to give repentance, we shall have it. All this power of sin upon you. All power is given. I said just now, sin is under him. But only with respect to his own people is it under him. But what does he say concerning the sinner that finds sin a burden? What does he say to the sinner who finds sin a trouble? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The Lord said to Jacob, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Esau's coming with 400 men. All he can do is kiss Jacob. And who's done it? Jesus has done it. This centurion, when he got home, his servant was completely well. And who has done it? Jesus. And why has he done it? Not because the centurion is worthy. It was the will of the Lord it should be done. And the Holy Spirit led that man in that way whereby God delighteth to do his will. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word and thy wondrous works, and pray that each one of us may be given that faith. And then, Lord, we shall know that blessed receiving as we've believed. Forgive all that has been amiss in this service. Cause thy word to remain with us. Blot out everything that is of self. Grant us each safe conduct. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us.